The Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The Son has a place there forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, Lord Christ. Amen. I invite you to be seated. Grace and peace to you all from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Good and gracious Lord, may the words from my lips and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you as we go about our day this week and always. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Then Jesus said to the confirmands, "And all who believe in him, if you continue in my word, you are truly following me, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Many of us remember confirmation being a time filled with great joy, and I hope that it is for you all as well. A time where we said yes to God long after God said yes to us in our baptism. We affirmed our baptism with faith that the Holy Spirit gave us from continuing in the Word. We gave thanks to parents and sponsors, teachers, our congregation, deacons, the pastors, and all who helped raise us in the faith. It was also a time where we really did not fully understand everything about our faith. And so instead of graduating from church after confirmation, we continued in the Word, and through the years have found strength from the Word in difficult and sad times, correction and grace in errant times, peace and joy and instruction from Jesus on what it means to be set free by his grace, to love and serve God and our neighbor as ourselves. Many have continued, or as the Greek word meno is also translated, abided, remained, or dwelled in the word. In many of us, we confess that we have not. So we still find ourselves enslaved, as Jesus warns his disciples about, if they do not remain in the Word. We often don't relate to being enslaved if we don't have African heritage on whose backs this country was built during their enslavement, or if we don't find ourselves in the evil human trafficking ring, enslaving children and people around the world for a means to an end. In fact, our country prides itself on our freedoms, the freedom of or from religion, freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom to bear arms, freedom to individuality, freedom to demonstrate, freedom to vote, and sometimes freedom to do our own thing without worrying about how it affects others. So what kind of enslavement and freedom is Jesus really talking about? He is referring to a spiritual enslavement that affects our whole being. When we do not continue in the Word, we still find ourselves enslaved, where we do not see the image of God in each person or God's work in creation, and instead let the end justify the means, instead of loving God and neighbor and caring for creation as good stewards that God instructed us to do in Genesis. We can be enslaved to the trappings and identity in our way of life that our culture and our history has shaped us and told us to be like. This false identity can enslave us. And without the good news that Martin Luther discovered by remaining in the Word, we remain enslaved. Martin Luther, a priest and monk, struggled with a conscience that made him very anxious about his relationship with God. Sometimes he felt his confessing his sin daily was not enough. And so he started to make things up to confess. He found himself enslaved to the work of confession, rather than freed from the truth that comes from abiding and remaining in the Word, as Jesus tells those who believe in him to do. The Catholic Church did not teach and preach the gospel that Luther found freeing as he continued to abide in the Word. And we love our Catholic brothers and sisters. But yet, we can also learn from the history in our past. Marked with an insatiable appetite to know the truth about God, he abided in the Word, Martin Luther did, by studying Scripture over the course of a year, and he translated it into his own German language, which was against the law of the Holy Roman Empire at the time. Abiding in the Word brought an experiential encounter with Jesus that no doctrine or church structure could bring. He found that it was not his good works or his confession or the purchase of indulgences that saved him from sin and death. No, by abiding in the Word and studying Scripture through the Holy Spirit given to him in baptism, he found that it was the saving grace of Jesus Christ, who unjustly was crucified on the cross and had asked God the Father before he died, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He found that it was Christ crucified and risen, given to us in baptism, that justified him before God. He found the passage in Romans 3:22-24, "There is no distinction, for all have sinned, and all fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." He found that was missing from the Catholic Church teaching, and he wanted to reform the church and not cause a split. So he spoke out against the sale of indulgences, which were being sold to give people a chance to buy their way into heaven, while the money was used to help build St. Peter's Basilica. Yet power and politics won the day and caused the Pope to excommunicate Luther. At his trial, he said, "Here I stand, I can do no other, proclaiming the gospel with a clear conscience. And thanks be to God, God knows how to work good out of bad." By abiding in the Word, Luther had such an experience with the crucified and risen Christ that it did not matter that the church excommunicated him. He was freed from the enslavement of the false belief that works justify him. And so he continued to abide in the Word. He continued to worship God and even wrote hymns based on Scripture in his native language, so since much of the population could not read. His love for God on account of God's love for him and Jesus Christ crucified and risen transformed his angst, which enslaved him. And it gave him freedom and transformed him to willingly love God and love his neighbor as himself. The Catholic Church started calling his followers Lutheran. Yet Martin Luther would be the first to say, "Don't follow me, follow Jesus." When abiding in the Word, we must be mindful that Luther taught that the Bible is the cradle which holds the Christ, and everything should be read and interpreted in prayer through the lens of Christ. We need to think about and pray about and study Scripture to find out who he went to, whom he loved, who he saw, and whom he gave grace to. The sinners, the least of these, the oppressed, the marginalized, the forgotten, the sick, and the list goes on and on. He found that God's love was all-inclusive and that God calls us to love all people, as hard as it might be. He was not a perfect man and even had some atrocious polemic against the Jews in his later years, evident of his inability to love all people. The ELCA has renounced this polemic against the Jews in a social statement, but regrettably, the diatribe back then contributed to the genocide of millions of our brothers and sisters made in the image of God, the Jews. On his deathbed, his comments were said to have been, in German, "Wir sind alle Bettler, das ist wahr," meaning, "We are all beggars for the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, for the forgiveness of sin, for us and for the world." The story in the Gospel of John in context follows Jesus after he had gone to Jerusalem during the Festival of Tabernacles, also known as the Festival of Booths, an eight-day celebration of Israel's escape from Egyptian slavery. In the text, we hear the disciples of Jesus responding to Jesus' promise of freedom if they continue in his word. They respond by denying they were ever slaves to anyone. The truth is that they are children of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, who went to Egypt and were made slaves. We too can be enslaved to many things. You name it. We can be enslaved to what people say about us, to our failures, to what we have done or haven't done. We can be enslaved to partisan politics instead of looking to serve the common good. We can be enslaved in many ways, and God knows, and God loves you, and God forgives you, and God has claimed you as his own beloved, forgiven child in baptism. And he sets you free through his grace to once again praise God, pray to God, and ask God to help you love God and your neighbor as yourself. That includes our enemy, which I admit is such a challenge. But keep praying and keep believing. And keep trusting that Christ's grace is sufficient for you and for us, and that Christ is with you till the end of this age and will one day take you to be with him and all the saints who have gone before us in heaven. The church is always reforming, is what the ELCA claims, and Bishop Bartholomew reminded us last week at our council meeting. So I lift up to you, sisters and brothers, how is God calling the church to reform in these days? How is God calling us to turn to God, to abide in the Word, to study Scripture, and to love all people like Jesus does? How is God calling us to make changes, to go and meet people where they are and proclaim the good news that Christ's grace is sufficient for them and that they do not need to be enslaved to old failures, to old sorrows, to anything else that gives them an identity other than what God gives them an identity of, beloved, forgiven children of God? May you all trust in God's grace given to you freely in baptism. May you all have strength to turn to God in prayer and trust that God is with you always till the end of this age, always loving, always forgiving, and always reforming the church for the sake of the world. Amen.